السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Well, this is the month of Ramadan. We are witnessing it and fasting in this month. Those who are able to fast the month of Ramadan, who qualify and are able to fast the month of Ramadan, is a month of blessings, great blessings, many blessings. I've never fasted the month of Ramadan and weren't aware of special blessings being given or received by me during the month of Ramadan. I've never fasted the month without being aware that I was receiving special blessings that I didn't receive in other months. Also, as you know, when someone completes the fast, the month of Ramadan, and have done it sincerely, fasted sincerely, not to lose weight, not to try to get pretty and wear your small clothes that you used to wear, or not to improve your health, but you did it because Allah says fast in the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet established fasting for us in the month of Ramadan. You did it because you knew that was your obligation as a Muslim to do it. If you did it for that reason, and your reason was not corrupted with other interests you had too, that you combined with it, made something else as important as the fasting as a Muslim, then you got great blessings if you fasted. And you will get great blessings every time you fast that way. So this is a very special month for us, and we will celebrate it on the Eid day, on the Eid al-Fitr, at the end of the fast, inshallah. So we wish each and every one of you a blessed Ramadan, and as they say, a Ramadan Kareem. That's something lately put in a greeting, you know, Ramadan Kareem. That's something that, it's nice, Ramadan Kareem. Ramadan, we expect for us to be blessed generously. Kareem means generosity, and Kareem means honorable, noble, honorable, Kareem means, yes, generous. Most noble people and honorable people, they're generous. So the two go together. Nobleness, and honor. They go together. That's why it's translated sometimes honorable or honor, and translated sometimes generous. Both meanings are in Kareem. So when you say Ramadan Kareem, it's a very good expression. But Allah says that Ramadan is a month in which He's given place great blessings. Allah called it Mubarak. He didn't call it Kareem. So I don't follow the trends. But please keep saying to me, "Ma'am, Ramadan Kareem." It's fine. I think the immigrant Muslims introduced that into America to tell you that you're not blessed. First, be honorable. Clean up. Be respectable. Be respect, you know. Be respectable. Kareem. Honorable. With respect. And be generous. Don't be asking for so much. Give something. I think that's what they're trying to tell the blacks. Well, I'm not in that. I don't fit in that group. I've always tried to give as much as I could. And I've always tried to respect what it is to be respected. So I don't need them to tell me to say Ramadan Kareem. The Holy Quran is Kareem. That's an attribute of the Quran. So we've started the sessions already. You taking notes?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, we want to read some Quran before, then I'll continue. From the last of Surah Al-Baqarah. beginning with a mentioning of the prophet, a Rasul, meaning Muhammad, the prophet to whom the Quran was revealed, who is the messenger of God. وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The messenger has believed in what was revealed to him from his Lord, and so also have the believers. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Every one of them believes in God, Allah that is, means God, and his angels, and his books of revelation, and his messengers. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ. They do not discriminate among or between his messengers. Discriminate means to say one is better than the other, or one is more legitimate than the other. As far as them being the messengers of God, they accept them all, that they all have equal respect and qualification as the messengers of God. That's what it means. That we don't say one was a half messenger of God, another one was a full messenger of God. One was a weak messenger of God, one was a strong messenger of God. We don't question, make distinctions between their legitimacy. They all are equally legitimate as messengers of God. Like you can't say one of us born of a mother and a father is more legitimate than another born of the same mother and the same father. No matter what you think of us individually, how we rate with each other according to our own performance, each one of our performance, it does not at all affect the legitimacy of each one of us. So that's what it means. We do not give more legitimacy to one messenger than another messenger. That's what it, exactly what it means. We do not make distinction. We know there's distinction. For Moses received a much bigger responsibility from God than did Aaron, two prophets, his brother. His brother was a prophet. So we know there's a difference, there's a big difference between Moses and Aaron, two prophets, brothers, peace be upon them. So it doesn't mean that. It means we do not question their legitimacy. Anybody else question the legitimacy of prophets? Certainly. The Jews have not accepted Jesus Christ yet, peace be upon him, as a prophet. Only a few Jews, modern Jews today, maybe a few back then, but the numbers are so few, they are not even known. Somebody's sleeping, they have to go. If you sleep here, you have to go. Now, brother, you have to go and wake up, or you have to get out of here. You can't. I can't look at somebody sleeping and they stay in it. No. How many of my students? My students. Raise your hand. If your hand went up slow, you should get out of here. No, no joke. Believe me, this is no joke. I'm dead serious. If your hand went up slow, you should just leave. If you're going to grade me, you should not have come here. I don't need you to grade me. You didn't teach me how you're going to grade me. And I've had to tell them, they're grading me. Billy, ma'am, that was pretty good that time. Billy, ma'am, I think you did pretty good that time. That was the best I ever heard. I really like how you explain such thing. And it's not what you say as much as it is the spirit that you say it in.
That's right. That's right.
Your attitude and your spirit tells me that you think you know something, and you come just to listen to me to see can you find fault, find some weaknesses, find something to say was wrong. And if you were pleased, then you say, oh, you got an A today, buddy man. You're wasting my time and your time. So don't do that. Anybody see someone sitting among them and they look like they don't belong here, please come and give me their name. Okay, now, returning to this reading from the last of the Surah Al-Baqarah, the last ayahs, verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. And they say, who say? The believers say. Don't lose what we're talking about. The believers say. And who is the first of the believers mentioned here? I want to hear you. Muhammad the Prophet, Al-Rasul. Yes, brother. Al-Rasul, Al-Rasulullah is the first of the believers that's mentioned here. And they say, mean Muhammad say too. And they say, Sami'na wa ata'na. They say, we hear and we obey. Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. We seek forgiveness from you, our Lord, and to you is our destination, Masir, where we're going. We're going to you. And that doesn't mean you're dying. I'm going to be hitting those things that I know you're doing wrong. You have a Christian saying, when someone dies, they return to Allah. How do you know? Everything returns to Allah, but what is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of everything returns to Allah? Allah says everything will return to Him. Not just you. Everything. What does it mean? Any imam want to answer that for me? Let's see the hands of those who want to answer that question for me. What does it mean that you return to Allah? I want someone close so I can hear them when I speak. So I can hear them. I don't have to strain to hear them. Yes, brother, right here with the white shirt.
Brother, I believe it means that Allah will make the final summing up of what His work was. The determination of its value is in His hands.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You are correct. A perfect answer. Perfect answer. Perfect answer. All accounts will be settled by God. All accounts will be settled by God. The last. The last payment is to God. That's the perfect answer. I don't have any question, any criticism of it all. But it also means everything got its beginning from God, because of God and because of the power of God, the will of God. And things go astray from His will. They break with the will of God. And in the end, everything comes back under God's will, under God's authority and under God's will. The word lit means possession. It indicates possession. And it's stronger than enda. Indi. If I say, Indi kitab, that's correct. It means I have a book. Indi kitab, I have a book. But if I say, Li walid, I have a son. Li walid, I have a son. That's stronger. That's a stronger possession. That means I have rights to this son. As a father, because of natural ties, we are naturally tied to each other, and because of first rights. So Allah used the expression li. In fact, in the beginning of this reading we just made, I didn't start at the beginning. It says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. لِت. To God is whatever is in the high. For God means it belongs to him. For God is whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth. لِلَّهِ راجعون. لِلَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. لِلَّهِ راجعون. To God, you're returning. They're returning. لِلَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. To God is the destination. The final abode. Final abode. So this strong word, li. Whatever, whenever God says something is his, he never used enda. He never used enda. Because things are always his. The first right to anything is always God. If we believe in God, if we believe in God, then the first title was God's. The first title to the universe, the first title to human beings, the first title to anything. It was God. So that's why lit is always used with God. With God, it's always lit. If any softer language is used, like end, means I have, indeed, means I have something. Like end for possession, if something like that is used, then usually it's not just God, but the angels or the messengers, others are included. And it is saying that not so much that they possessed that, but they were present. They were present and had knowledge of what was going on regarding a particular thing, whether it's you or a person or anything or happening. Destruction of the town or the city or whatever. And to them were the reports or the news or the information. This thing is not as close in a relationship to the possessor as to say the object belongs to God. This is just a happening that occurred. It's different. It's different. All right. So the messenger of God says, along with all the other believers, we hear and we obey. What does that expression bring to your mind? We say we hear and we obey. It means that we do not question what God says. We don't question what God says. We hear and we obey. Like a soldier in the army. He hear the cadence and he carry them out. He doesn't think about it. Hey, should I left face or should I right face? He doesn't think about it. He knows he's supposed to hear and obey those cadence. In Islam, if we know God said this, no hesitation. Hear and obey. Aqim as-salat. You don't think about it. You get up and do your prayers. You don't think about it. You don't hesitate. Don't you know God established that we aqim as-salat? Right? Yes. We hear and we obey. Now, right after that it comes, forgive us. We ask your forgiveness, our Lord. So that tells us that they don't always hear and obey. But their wish and their obligation is to hear and obey. Now this doesn't include the prophet. But for all others, they hear and they don't always obey as soon as they hear. They have to learn the obedience of the messengers of God. From the messengers of God. From the word of God and the messengers of God. They learn this obedience. And to you is our eventual destination. Our eventual coming. Where we will end up eventually. Now. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God does not burden a soul, any person, except with what it has the capacity to bear. Wus'aha means its capacity. God will not put on it more than what it has the capacity to bear. Laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma kasabat. For it is what it has earned, and upon it is what has been recorded, what has been recorded. But look at look at the ending of the word here. This is the nefsun, right? The nefs is feminine in grammatically speaking, in grammar, Arabic grammar. The nefs is feminine. Maktasabat. Upon it is what it has earned, and against it or upon it, maktasabat. Now, it means what has been recorded. Now, the angels record, don't they? Are the angels masculine or feminine? Raise your hand if you know. Anyone close up here? Or back there. I want to see all the hands who know. Are angels masculine or feminine in Islam? Raise your hand if you know. No one close? You all should have been in the back, and the others should be up here. The first students are back in the back, and the last students up here. Masculine. That's correct. I saw some hands. I just want to get more response from you. Don't be shy. You listen to me and you grade me. Let me listen to you and grade you. Yes, masculine. The angels are masculine. So it's not talking about the angels. And the angels record, don't they? They record our deeds. But this is not talking about the angels. Something is recording. It's your own soul. Your own soul registers what you do, good or bad. You forget it, but it's in your soul. Your soul will never release it. It'll stay there forever. Everything that happens in your life is recorded upon your soul, and it will stay there forever. Your soul records it. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Now, look how the connection is made. See, this is how you test someone to see if they know what they're talking about or not. If they don't know what they're talking about, it won't follow through. The meanings won't be consistent. The meanings won't be consistent. And this is revelation. It shouldn't only be consistent. It should be powerfully unfolding. Powerfully unfolding. It should not be just a little simple unfolding. It should be a powerful unfolding, a mighty unfolding. If it's revelation, and it is revelation. Our Lord, do not charge us with or punish us if we should forget or make a mistake. If we should forget or make a mistake. The mind forgets. The mind makes a mistake. The soul records perfectly everything that happens. But the soul and the mind are different. So you see how it starts? Sami'na wa ata'na. Hear and I obey. We hear and we obey. That's perfect obedience, right? Hear and immediately obey. Perfect obedience. And then the soul, the self, is not burdened except by what it has the capacity to bear. That's the soul. And then the soul is recording very accurately everything that we're doing, good or bad. Everything that we are registering on our mind goes to the soul and will never be erased unless God erases it. You have no power to erase it yourself. Is there any proof of this in psychology? Yes. They can bring up what happened to you when you were in your mother's stomach. Well, they claim it. They claim they can bring up memory from your from you when you were in your mother's stomach, not even born yet. You weren't talking, but they know by the responses that this was this is a response from the fetus, not from a born child. So that means whatever happened in the fetus was recorded in your soul, and they were able to find some evidence of that. Did you pay your $10 registration? Raise your hand. If you didn't go, please. Because it was just to say to you that this has value.
Yes.
You weren't charged the price. The price is $1 million. With no exaggeration. With no, in fact, more than that. One day some of you all might understand. Some of you do already, I believe. If you're lucky to go to heaven and be in the high heaven, you will understand. So the mind is subject to forget. The cause of the imperfection of the mind is subject to make mistakes. So again we pray for the soul. God does not burden anyone except with what it has the capacity to bear. But now on the mind, we are pleading for the mind now. Rabbana. These are believers pleading for the mind. وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا وَلَا, pardon me, وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا first. وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا And do not make us carry a bear إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا A burden as that that you placed on those before us. This is the particular burden, isn't it? Isran. This is a particular burden. It's not an ordinary burden. Isran, a particular burden. This is a burden that we see in religions that are not having the clarity that Islam has. And that's all religions other than Islam. No religion has the clarity that Islam has. It is the last of the great revealed religions, and it is the clearest of the revealed religions. All the other religions are filled with a lot of mystery, too much mystery, too much esotericism, secret language, language known only by the few who are blessed to get insight. They're filled with that, and that's what makes them a great burden on the average adherent or believer or follower of those faiths. So here we are praying that God will not burden us with the burden that that was placed upon those before us. We are praying because God, we have recognized the clarity in Islam. We have recognized the ease with which we can walk the path of Islam. The Sirat al-Mustaqim. And we're grateful to God for making this religion now so plain and so easy for us to follow and live. And we're asking that He will never place a burden on us like He placed on those before us.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is. This is tafsir. Tafsir, you know what tafsir is? Raise your hand. How many know what tafsir is? Yes, yes. Brother with the pencil in his hand, right here. Yes, I know your face, but I can't call your name right now. Yes. The vest, yes.
What, Fasir?
Yeah, what does it mean, Fasir?
Fasir would be explanation and clarification of the meaning of the Quran.
Yes, I didn't get the first word.
Explanation.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. So tafsir is explanation of Quran, of the meanings, explaining the meanings, as he said, tafsir. Right. Rabbana wala tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. Our Lord, do not make us carry or burden us with a load, something to carry, that we do not have the ability to manage. These statements sound very similar, don't they? Sound very similar. What is being asked? Sound very similar. But they all have reference to Scripture, what was revealed before the people, and have reference to the people who believe before us, Jews, Christians, has reference to what they bore as a burden on them as followers of the prophets that came to them. For the Jews, Moses, peace be upon him, or Musa. For the Christians, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. But not limited to those. To all others. Remember this. Allah says in the Quran, these are the ones that are named in the book, prophets. Speaks of the ones that are named, given by name in the Quran. And they are almost 100% the same names we find in the Bible. So to leave us with the right impression, so we don't think that God's prophets are limited to those that are mentioned in Scripture, past to Moses, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus and others. God says, and there are others not mentioned in the book. So most of the messengers of God, prophets and messengers of God, are not even mentioned in Scripture. They're not mentioned in Scripture. The problem is not with those not mentioned. The problem is with those mentioned. So why should God discuss those that are not mentioned? You don't have any problem with them. You don't even know them. The problem is with those that people have on pages. And they're saying things about them. And they're presenting them in certain pictures, in certain ways. And most of the people are confused. Who of these are right? Which one is right? Which one is wrong? Can all of them be right? So the confusion. God only addresses the confusion upon us to lighten our burden. God wants to lighten the burden on believers, all believers. So do not make us carry a load that we can't bear or we have not the ability to manage. This is not referring to the mysticism in religion, the difficulty with reading or perceiving what's stated in the Scripture, because it's so mystified, it's so esoteric. This is not referring to that at all. This one here is just referring to the ability of the individual, in his mind, the ability of the individual, his mind and his spirit and his soul to carry burdens. The individual ability. Mind, spirit, soul, to carry the weight, to carry the responsibility, to carry the burden, or whatever. What is the reference? The reference, again, is to the respect that the Quran, the revealed word, has for human constitution, human power, and human limitations. The respect that it has for it. First of all, it's not one of those religions that depend mostly upon purification of the spirit and spiritual devotion. It asks us to work on that, for that purification, but that's not what it depends upon. It depends upon us being truthful with our minds. Being truthful with our minds. The message of Islam and the Quran and Islam is to our minds. It does not try to reach our mind through our emotions as much as it tries to reach our emotions through our minds. So it is distinguished among religions of the world for trying to reach the soul through the mind rather than the reverse. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I know it is for me, but if you're grading me, you'll miss a lot. And I never will accept your grade. Not for me.
You got that right.
I grade myself. And I grade myself by trying to figure out how God will grade me. I try hard to figure out how God is grading me. And that's the way I grade myself. So when it comes to our personal ability to carry responsibility, a heavy responsibility, we should be grateful to God for Islam. See, when Allah says, and count not your Islam as a favor to God, it is a favor to you. Like you're doing God some favor. Oh, I became a Muslim. God wanted me to be a Muslim. Allah wanted me to be a Muslim. So I became a Muslim. Imam so-and-so wanted me to become a Muslim. So I become a Muslim. I decided to be a Muslim. I know he's happy now. Some of us have that attitude. Oh, my mother, she's been a Muslim. I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to take my shahada next week. Oh, my mother's happy now that I've become a Muslim. Oh, somebody has to bribe you. You're doing somebody a favor becoming a Muslim. When have you all heard me ask somebody to take that shahada? This religion is so valuable and precious, I will never stoop down so low that I beg you to take shahada. It's a great favor on you that you take shahada. Like me begging you to take $1 million. And there's no comparison.
Right, right.
But I'm just giving you an idea. Like me begging you to take $1 million. That's stupid. Yes. So Islam, appealing to the human mind, rational mind, comes through the legal door. Legal door. The door, to my mind, that is legal for you to enter is the door of my rational mind. The door of my reasoning. If you try to bypass my reasoning and reach me to convict, to convince me or to convert me to something, you came in illegally. Islam respects the legal door for entering the mind and influencing the thinking of people. That is not to say that all who enter the door, other than that door, are criminals. That wasn't to say that. Because sometimes a person will recognize the difficulty, sometimes what they consider to be an impossibility, to reach you through your mind with you being conscious of what they're doing and saying to you. So they will have your own welfare and your own good as their interest. And they will come through your emotions or come through your spirituality or something to affect change in your mind. They didn't do anything criminal. They did something merciful. That was a mercy. But you help babies that way. And any time we have to help a whole society of people that way, it tells us that either they're retards or we don't have the ability, rational ability, to education ourselves to reach them through their intelligence. What is that to say? Mankind has been in evolution as an intelligent creature. He has been in evolution. He has been a baby in his mind. He has been an animal in his mind. He has been uneducated, uncivilized. But God's help coming to him through messengers and prophets and teachers, etc., have brought him up the ladder of merit. Intellectual merit, our rational ability and intellectual merit have brought him up that ladder, up the stairways. And it has taken time for the masses of the world to come to the point where they, to the rational ability, where they appreciate their power of reason and their ability to reason for themselves and make rational choices for themselves and feel comfortable. It's taken a lot of time. This has been a process of history for man to come to recognize that his most useful tool for making his life on this earth and improving it is his intelligence. It's taken him a lot of time. And it also has taken time for the people in their souls to hunger for better minds to lead them. And God to give them better minds to lead them. But God won't give them what they are not ready to accept. لا يغير الله ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. God will not change what is with the people as a problem, that's what it means, as a difficulty. Until they change what is burdening their own souls. So as they wake up to answer the hunger in their own souls for better, God is not going to send them help. But when they begin to hunger in their own souls for better, God will give them the help they want. And usually from among them. He select one of them for that. Are you talking about yourself? No, I have no interest in myself. I have interest in you. And when I told you, if you should pay me one, the price is $1 million, that wasn't interest in myself. If it was, I would have told you. With a job, working at a factory or something, welding, to take care of my responsibilities to my family, I'll be happy. I don't need anything. I don't need the stuff the world loves. I don't need it. God has risen me up in my soul above that. I don't have interest in that kind of stuff. Only for the sake of helping something else more important. That's the only reason why I'm interested in things like that. God knows that I don't have to have you all say, "Amen." Yeah. He's great. Now I don't need that. I'll be happy with nobody telling me anything. People don't know me. I'm happy. They don't know me to say who he is. To them, I'm just a guy wearing a jacket, a brown jacket in the streets. You know? I'm happy. I don't need it. And that's God's protection on me. Yes. And I'm happy and free. They spilled juice on my beautiful dress that I wore for you all. Like this. Orange juice on me. I was expecting something. Something told me in my soul, then be careful. It's going to spill something on you. So finally it did. The attendant on the airplane reached over to get the waste from the person on the window, pulled it by me and spilled orange juice on me. I just kept like nothing happened. I just kept. And the guy said, I'm sorry. He said, to him in the left, I'm sorry. I said, that's okay. I said, he had on a sweater. He was looking just regular. I said, I like to dress the way you are. I said, I wouldn't have a problem. I'd dress the way you are. I said, I never did like the tie. I had on a tie, this tie. I said, because there's something in my jeans. I said, oh my God. So the attendant came, and she came with the napkin, wiping me up. I said, thank you very much. I said, I'm all right. I said, something has happened to me in the last few days. God has blessed me so much. I said, I'm happy. I said, nothing can change that. I said, I'm happy. I said, don't worry about it. I'm happy. Praise be to Allah. Everybody, let's get back to this. Time is passing. Yes. Getting back to the burden. So, when the mind begins to open up, and the mind wants to see what is truth and what is error, what is right and what is wrong, you want to see it with your intelligence, you want to see it with your rational mind, then you're where Allah wants you to be. That's where He wants to bring His people, His creation, His human creation. He wants to bring them to that point where they will have faith in their own intelligence and be truthful with their own intelligence. Don't lie with your own intelligence. Be truthful with your intelligence. That's where Allah wants to bring the people. And it's in Scripture. So when the spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. The spirit of truth. What is the spirit of truth? The urge in your rational makeup to see correctly or to know correctly what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is error. That's the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth, truth and falsehood is determined by the activity of the mind, rational mind. That's how we determine truth from falsehood. This is a rational mind. They give you a test at the college. What they take? True or false, right? True or false? You ain't supposed to guess, although some of them do it. You're not supposed to be guessing. You're supposed to be using your intelligence. You're supposed to be recalling the information and making your decision in light of what the information is. And then you say, that's false. This is true. See how everything bears out? See how everything testifies to the truth? They didn't always have that kind of test for the students. True, false test. Everything is happening in time. On time. In time and on time. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide them and guide you into all truth. What is the other spirit? Two main spirits. More than two, but two main spirits. One is the spirit of truth. The other one is the spirit of righteousness. Truth and righteousness. And when you don't have education, what helps you make your decision so that you don't do wrong, you don't sin? Righteousness. Your devotion to righteousness. And the spirit of righteousness in you. That's what keeps you from falling into so much error or into so much sin. And Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, the prophet and servant of God, when he came to the people, he was the spirit of righteousness. And that's why it's prophesied that the spirit of truth must come after him. And it did come. Now, after reflecting on our own makeup, rational mind, and our limitations and our powers and all this, and the nature of our soul, we reflected on all that, beginning with the nature of the soul, reflected on everything, reflected on the ability of the mind, the mind in this, with this capacity and limitations. Then we return to acknowledge that we can sin. With all this, we still can sin. Wa'afu anna. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. Wa'afu anna. Waghfir lana. Pardon. These words are very, very, very much the same. Wa'afu anna means like pardon our sins. And then waghfir lana. Forgive our sins. And there's a difference, because many times I may pardon a person, but that doesn't necessarily mean I forgave them. Then warhamna. There's a little bit more now. To pardon me, just excuse me. Excuse me mean I'm not going to bother you right now, right? If you just get on away from me, man, you won't get hurt. Then waghfir lana stronger. Forgive me. Mean I won't be coming back at you. Warhamna means do good by me. Even though you have no obligation to do it. You have no obligation on you to do good by me. I want you to do good by me. That's mercy. Warhamna. And be merciful to us. Anta maulana. You are our protection, protector. Anta maulana. You are our protector. With all of this revelation on the power of the soul, power of the intellect, we come back to recognize that we have limitations, and without God, we are helpless. We need Him always as our protector. Fansurna. You are our protector. Give us victory. Give us victory over the rejecters of faith. The ungrateful ones who are not, they don't appreciate you. They reject your invitation to faith, to Islam. And that is the conclusion of that Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran. Sadaqa Allahu al-Azim. It is 7:35?
Yes.
About 7:35,
yes,
roughly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Ramadan, so we should do Isha. And after Isha, we should do Tarawih prayers. And Witr, you can do at home, or we can do them together. Doesn't matter. You can do it where you sleep, before you go to sleep. But not as an obligation. Understand that. Witr is not an obligation. It's not the Fajr prayer. But in the month of Ramadan, that's when we try to do all our prayers. So most of us, we will try hard to do the Witr prayers after the Tarawih prayers. If you care to do them all here together, you can. I won't. After the Tarawih prayers, I'm going to go to my bedroom. Or to some room where I won't have anybody to answer to but myself. And God, always God. Did you get something out of that? If you were a millionaire and had your same mind, would you give me $1 million? I know I would.
The teacher.
Now, we want to answer some questions very quickly. Simple questions. And when we finish these four questions on this page, and I give a general, kind of a general description of the Quran to you, we will conclude this evening. And tomorrow, inshallah, we will have a kitfi. Brother Rafa ever arrived?
Yes,
Brother Rafa. Were you able to get everything?
Yes, sir.
Good. Thank Allah. Alhamdulillah. Rahmatullahi alayhi. Did we bring the folders?
25.
Hmm?
25.
How many?
25.
You have 25 folders?
Yes, sir.
But you don't have the... You weren't able to go to the 929 and get the other folders?
Well, that's the one.
Now, you know, she prepared about 200.
Yeah,
huh? So how are we going to get the others? We can't get them, huh? Unless we have somebody drive them up here.
Right.
See, we got a lot of people here. We should have the folders. We have 25 folders. And I want to share something with 25 imams that was given to me. Now, why is this important to me? Not for you to look at me. Never do I want you to look at me for that reason. For my sake, or for you to think more of me. No, I never want that. It's for you to see what's happening. I got up, it's in the paper today. Do we have the journal? Everybody will be able to get it, but I have copies of it in folders. What I got, yeah, there's the journal. Bring me the journal, let me read it. Brother Rafa, here's a brother close by I got. Yeah, bring the journal. Is that the latest? Yeah, it's an acknowledgement that I received from the Secretary of State, along with about, I think it was 23 of us, on the special committee for the State Department and the President of the United States. On peace and religious tolerance, or the freedom of religion, at home, but mostly abroad. Could you bring those folders, those blue folders, with the certificate in it, Brother Muhammad Rafa Muhammad? I'll read it to you, and I took copies of it, and I want to share it with the imams. But this honor that's paid to me is not coming to me because of myself alone. It's coming to me because of myself with you, not because of myself alone. It would never come to me. They would never know me. They would never be interested in me. So I want to share this with 25 of the imams. Later, we can give it to more if you like, but it also will be in the paper. I'm going to read it here. It says, United States Department of State. Someone else read it. Where? Yes. Dr. Nordin, will you read this? You have to speak in this mic here.
It says, United States Department of State Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad. Your distinguished service to your country and the cause of religious freedom has helped create positive change in the lives of people around the world. The advice you provided has helped form United States policy on the promotion of religious freedom and has substantially increased public awareness and support for this fundamental human right, both in the United States and abroad. It's dated May 17, 1999, Madeleine Albright.
Takbir! Yes. So I want to share that with you, because this is recognition to us, not just to me. It's recognition to us. And it is another, achievement that has the power to open big doors for us.
That's right. That's right.
Big doors for us.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's no accident. No. I don't want you all to think that that's an accident. When I was on Stony Island as your chief minister, I saw there, then, there, and back then, that in order for us to really do what I believe we had to do to really be Muslims and to really get where we should go in this world, and this is the United States too, most importantly, and that was to, what we had to do was to take Islam from being a nationalistic religion. Whether they call it black nation or whatever. Take Islam from being a nationalistic religion and a particular religion of a particular race, the black man, to where it should go because of its own content. The contents of Islam according to the Quran and the teachings of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and the best teachers in our history as on this earth as Muslims, the contents are universal and for all people and makes a great contribution to the betterment of life for all the people of the world. And it's so broad and so profound and so far-reaching and so valuable as a religion that I just couldn't stand to have it cheapened by keeping it in a small little place and in a small little awareness. Small awareness of it. So I began working. I had a plan. I had a strategy. And I began working. First thing I wanted to do was break the walls of the temple. And open the walls of the temple. So get out of there. So take it out of there. So I saw I wouldn't be able to do that, calling myself the minister of the temple. That I had to have my own ministry outside the walls of the temple. So I formed the Mecca Fund to fund my ministry. And you supported me. You who did, you shared this great victory with me. Yes, because of you supporting me financially and with your moral support to me, that I was able to do that and keep going and didn't have to worry about paying my rent and if you can't pay your rent and you can't eat, you can't do anything.
That's right.
Because of you all, I was able to do that. So the victory is yours too. We all share in this big victory. We broke the walls of the temple.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
Knocked them down and went outside.
Yes, sir.
Into the world.
That's right.
And now look where we are.
Yes, sir. To the mountaintop. Matter of fact, past it.
And I have to value those brothers who with me every step of the way. And I share with them what I was doing. Two of them here. Brother John Ramadan, Brother Raphael S. Muhammad, Shamsuddin Muhammad, they're right back there. They were with me when I was on Stony Island. Chief Minister. And they saw what has occurred from that time to now. So you try to convert them against what I'm doing? As my father say, getting you a stepladder to reach the sun and put it out would be easier. Now they got their faults just like we all got our faults. They're not angels, they're human beings. But when it comes to following me, they're angels. That's right. Yeah, the angels obey their errand. And they don't flag. They don't backstep. They go right to the job and get it done. But when it comes to doing what they know I want, that's, I got angels. Yeah, they're angels. And that's why it's revealed like that, to show us that we have to have angelic obedience. In some areas, we have to perform as angels, not as human beings, but as angels. You know, of course, you don't let your mind interfere with it. You do what you have to do. That doesn't mean you should go out here and get crazy and be stupid. You know, respect your good intelligence. But that you know is correct for you, and your own mind tells you it's correct for you. What makes you hesitate? Why are you not doing it? Weakness. As a Christian would say, weakness in the flesh. Yeah, it's weakness that's keeping you from doing it. You know it's the correct thing to do. Your own reasoning tells you it's the correct thing to do. Then why you hesitate when it's time to do it? Now our Lord, we hear and we obey. It didn't say we feel and we obey. Say we hear and we obey. On the back, since it's here for me, I have to mention the president. This is from the President of the United States. Isn't that nice? President of the United States. Ain't many small papers like this. Got the President of the United States on it, back of it. We're giving right. Greetings to us.
Right.
President of the United States says, our family wishes you and yours a blessed holiday season filled with treasured memories of past traditions and joy and peace in the new millennium. Bill Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton. That was mailed to me. Well, it was to all of us. So that's there, to all of us. But now, to the Muslims, he got a special greeting. It's in here, too. I'm going to find it for you. You find it. That means you have to get a Muslim journal. I don't know what's wrong with you all. I mean, I'm serious. You stop on the road, pay $20 for some food that's going to make you sick. Yeah, half cooked, fast cooked too fast. Not all halal. And you won't pay a little price for a Muslim journal every week. That's a shame. Yeah, it is a shame. Not only should you buy one every week, you should buy a few extra ones to give them out to your friends, your relatives and friends. Those that would accept it. That don't mean we're perfectly satisfied with the paper either. I got children I love so much. Just to think of them dying makes me just feel like I wish I was dead before I could think, before I could get the news of it. But ain't hardly a day passed that I don't jack one of them up. And Sister Editor, I believe the printer did this. If the printer did, you should tell them that this is very serious. That we ain't the only one printing papers. We rather type it on our hand, pass Xerox copies of it out, than to go along with something that's giving us a black eye and a bloody nose and everything else.
That's right.
Here's a president from the President of the United States. Members of the Muslim American community have made enormous contributors to our national life. That didn't come from the president. Have made enormous contributions to our national life. You're not supposed to make a mistake with the words of the President of the United States. And you're not supposed to make mistakes with the words of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Right.
No, I'm serious. Very serious. Not supposed to do that. Because not only are you looking at it, but other believers, many believers all over this country, they reading what we're saying that Imam W.D. Muhammad said. And the whole nation and the world respects the President of these United States.
That's right.
So that can happen. You can't control it. You give your paper to the printer. The printer might make a mistake. They do that. But look in these papers, these major papers, and tell me how often will you find them misquoting or messing up a message from the President of the United States. They take such pains with that, they know it's correct before it goes out. So this hurts here, to see this. It hurts me to see this. So we have to let that printer know that they can't have that. We can't have that. And they should pay for every copy that they printed. Every copy. See, you all not like me. I'll go for broke in the name of righteousness, in the name of principle, in the name of what's correct. I'll go for broke. That's right. Lose everything and start all over again. Don't say, well, we paid you for this issue. The reason why you're not getting a check for the next issue is because the issue we paid you for, you made a very damaging mistake.
That's right.
Very damaging mistake. Well, you give us our money, or we take you to court. Let's go to court.
That's right.
And we're going to tell the judge why we didn't pay you. And the damage to us is much more than the money you're losing because we're not paying you for these issues. Yes, I would take it all the way. Go for broke. Then you can stop. That's the way you stop this thing. So you have to stop things like this. If they get by with this, they're getting by. You know, don't think everybody happy because this community is getting this kind of respect. Everybody ain't happy. Some of them so mad. In fact, when I was voted international president of WCRP,
yes, sir,
in Jordan,
yes, sir,
person I thought was close to us, close to me, I happened to look at his face, and the man was in such misery. His face was just miserable. Because they had voted me international president with the other presidents, international president of WCRP. And I saw about two other faces, miserable. Yeah, they were calling me Mr. President. No, I mean, they weren't joking. They came to me and handed me a paper. Mr. President, hand me a paper. I had just been outside in the opening, the entrance, I had to go outside in the entrance for doing one of the breaks between the sessions, and the Secretary General of the WCRP, World Conference on Religion and Peace, he met me and said, "Mr. President," and gave me some papers. Gave me some papers that they were passing out, and he said, "Mr. President." Well, I kind of wondered what he was talking about. So he saw that I was kind of a lost. He said, "You have been nominated by the international group here, the committee here, and they have selected you to be a national president of WCRP, World Council on Religion and Peace." Mm-hmm. So I said, "Oh," I said, "thank you very much." I said, "That's quite an honor." And I went on back in to attend the session. And while I was sitting there, a gentleman brought me some more paper, and he looked at me, he said, "Mr. President," and he handed me my papers. Then we went back to the committee sessions, which were different from these other sessions. There, they called out the names of the ones that had been approved for the position of international presidents. In America, to my knowledge, there are only two of us now, and that's Archbishop Keeler of Baltimore, a Catholic, and myself, a Muslim. Yeah, that's something. Believe me, that's something. This organization has influence in Asia, Africa, the United States, everywhere. Everywhere. Son of Elijah Muhammad. Now you know that's a miracle. That cannot be anything but God. Nobody could do that for the son of Elijah Muhammad but God. And look, son of Elijah Muhammad is lifted up. I'm his son. No way his son can go up like that with my life and my history tied to his beginning without him also going up. Allahu Akbar. Wonderful. Almost eight now. Okay, first question, what is Islam? More correctly, what is Al-Islam? You know Al-Islam is the full name. The full name is Al-Islam. What is Al-Islam? It's okay to say Islam, because that's what the public is saying. That's why you see me, I use Islam. I use the expression Islam. The people, they know the religion by Islam. We don't often think we talk about a different religion. So to the public, it's Islam. But to us who know the Quran, we should say Al-Islam. What is Al-Islam? And before you answer, try to remember your teaching, what you've been taught. And many of you imams have been taught what Muhammad the Prophet gave as an answer when he was asked, "What is Islam?" And that's the answer. The answer is given by the Prophet himself, peace be upon him. Simply, Al-Islam is to witness that there is but one God, and to pray. Now we know it's to witness that there is one God and Muhammad is his messenger, but that's not how he answered it. It is to witness that there is but one God and to pray. We know that's witness one God and Muhammad is his messenger. But it's Shahada. To witness that there is but one God and to pray. We know it's to pray five times a day, but he didn't say that. He said to pray. And to pray to that God, or to God. And to give in charity, and to fast the month of Ramadan, and to visit the house. That is to make pilgrimage to the house built by Abraham and his son, peace be upon them. The Kaaba. To go there and salute the Kaaba. Well, you really salute the black stone corner of the Kaaba. And you make your rituals. You begin your rituals to complete the Hajj. That's Islam. That's what Islam is. But look how broad each of these structures are. Shahada itself is not just a statement of belief, but it is an acknowledgement by the faithful. I'm acknowledging. Shahada means you acknowledge, not just believe. That's why we have articles of faith and principles of action. And these five that were given in What is Islam are really principles of action. There's a certain action to follow when you say, La ilaha illallah, or Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I witness that there is but one God. There's an action to follow that statement of recognition. I witness. If you say in the court of the judge, you say, I witness such and such, it means that you have knowledge of some evidence that's admitted into the court if he accepts your testimony. Now, judge is here. He can correct me if I go astray.
You're right.
Yes, praise be to Allah. So Islam is not a religion that wants you to be committed on an emotional charge. Oh, I like this. Yes, I want to become one of you. No. Have you thought over anything? Have you used your mind and made any judgment of the value of this religion? Have you had any rational interaction with this religion and coming to a rational conclusion that this religion deserves your support as an adherent or as a believer, as a member or a follower? Have you done that? If you have, then take your shahada and say, I witness that there is no God but Allah, or there is but one God, and I witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. I witness. Is this in accord with previous scriptures? Yes. Previous scriptures talk about witnesses and talk about God going to make witnesses. There's a whole order of Christians by the name witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's right.
Yes. So this witness is a strong in religion. Strong. There's more to say about that. But this. So what is Islam? Use the simple answer that Muhammad the Prophet gave us when anybody asks you what is Islam. And then whatever you want to say, let what you say be second to that, not first.
That's right.
Oh, Islam is not to drink and not to smoke.
Yeah.
But go to jail every 4 months. Or every 30 days. Go to jail and preach in there and then come back out and get caught again and go back to jail. Just don't smoke, just don't drink, don't eat pig. That's Islam. No, don't come from your own head. What's Islam? Come from your memory of what you were taught. What is Islam? And Muhammad is the best of teachers for us in the world. And he taught us what Islam is. Islam is the five principles of action. Islam is a religion of action. It's a religion of work. It's a religion of do. Not just talk. That's what Islam is. You say there's one God, show it in your action.
That's right.
Say, well, how can I show in my action that there's one God? Obey that God. And don't put obedience to something else above obedience to that God.
Yes, sir.
That's the way you witness that there is but one God. That was clear, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Kind of tighten you up a little bit, didn't it? Yeah, I felt some of them squeaking. That's okay. Let it hurt a little bit. Ask Allah for the strength to do what you're supposed to do.
Help yourself.
What is the Quran? Again, let's not give our own answers. before using what we are taught. What is the Quran? ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. This is the book wherein there is no doubt, guidance for the God-fearing. So what is the Quran? It is guidance for the God-fearing. Guidance for those who put God above everything else. It is guidance. Hudan lil muttaqin. For those who reverence God or have taqwa. Meaning they put nothing, no authority above God. What else is the Quran? Coming from the Quran. The Quran, I'm missing a lot. I'm skipping over a lot to bring you just things I want for this particular session. The Quran is clear guidance or clarity that serves to make clear what is guidance and what is the criteria or that enables us to distinguish true guidance from false guidance. And not only to distinguish truth from falsehood, but enabled us to also distinguish the features of the guidance. For the guidance have different features. Again, what is the Quran? The Quran is plain language, language that we all can understand, and metaphorical language. And Allah says in the Quran, while making this known to us, that the Quran has these features. It is plain language and it is metaphorical language. Shubahat. Shubahat means what is given is a resemblance, not the real thing. It resembles the real thing, but is not the real thing. That's what Shubahat is. Muhakamat is that makes it easy for you to follow logic. To follow it logically. You can follow it logically. It has been made plain and very rational so that you can easily follow it logically. And Allah says, this is not something for you all to get here and go out like you heard a sermon. This is not a sermon. This is explanation of the meanings of the Quran or the terms we use in Islam and the Quran. You who intend to promote dawah, to support and promote dawah, invitation to people to be Muslims or the propagation of the religion so that people will see the religion and be able to make choice whether they like it or not. You that intend to do that, are you doing that and you want to continue to do that? Or you intend to do that in the future? That's important to you? that you help this. You should keep this in your book or in your notebook or whatever you're putting it in to refer to it later when you have to refresh your mind. It should become part of your working knowledge for the propagation or the correct representation of Islam, if you really intend to do that. And this invitation was only to those who have an interest in dawah, whether you're imams or not. It's not just for imams here. It's for anybody who has an interest in presenting Islam correctly and giving people a chance to make their own choices, whether they would like to stay none, atheist, or hypocrite in religion, or a weak Jew, or a corrupt Christian, or whatever. You know, if they're tired of that and they want to look at something else, consider something else, we want to have Islam out there. They give the people another choice. And that's what Allah wants, to give everybody an opportunity to choose Islam, to choose Islam if they want Islam. Yes, so what Allah said in the Quran regarding these two features of the Quran? Allah said, the Quran are, the revelation, the verses are shubahat and muhkamat. They are allegorical, as one translator.